Good morning. We'll share lots, I believe, over the next while, just pieces of our conference that we're part of, but just generation to generation. But that's enough because I got lots to say this morning. But you may be wondering why I'm wearing this tie. This is my sermon illustration this morning. Soon as what? Well, as a Hillsong speaker, you have to, yeah, thanks. When we leave here after service, we're going to do the funeral of our friend from Swan Hills, Edwin. Donna and Edwin were, well, Donna was the first family to welcome. It was actually just me. We weren't even married yet. We were engaged. When I went up to Swan Hills to plant the church in Swan Hills, they were the very, very first family, together with their sister, Debbie and Albert Millers, to welcome us into the town of Swan Hills. So this is his tie. His wife gave me, blessed me with about 3 or 4. This isn't recorded, right? Not yet, hopefully. So I'm wearing it for him. For her, actually. I don't think he ever wore these ties, but the reason I wore it today is to remind myself and to remind you, because my sermon this morning is on forgiveness. You can put up that slide. Forgiveness is not optional. I want to talk about that in the story of Joseph. We've been building to this climax of Joseph standing before his brothers and being honored by Pharaoh and the whole story. So we got to get there, right? We got to kind of bring this series to a close. But it's talking about forgiveness. And the reason I'm wearing this tie is, say, well, because I'm going to do the funeral, but it's to, like, listen, if you'd forget everything else I preached this morning, which you always do, it's okay. I do too. There might be just a nugget here or there if you write something down or the Holy Spirit drops something in your heart. Is this, life is short. And if you need to forgive someone and release someone, and I'll get to it, set yourself free, this is a good day to do it. And I see Johan there. His mother passed away suddenly. Bless you guys. Can encourage them, bless them. He was just sharing before the service how suddenly that happens. And Pete was reminding us of Dave and Tamana. Remember Dave and Tamana? She was with us, sleeping in our house. About 2 days later, they send us Dave weeping. She sat up in bed as they were getting ready for bed at 11 that evening and just said, Dave, straight to heaven. And so this is to remind you. So you see this tie with all the little crosses? This is Edwin's tie. He's gone. We got today. We have today to live. Right. We have this day to honor God and to set ourselves free, to set those who have come against us and they intended for evil, but God brings good. I love that story. So let's look at Joseph. I'm going to read a few verses. Genesis chapter 45, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 15. I'm reading out of NIV just because I like the English. It's easy. Then Joseph could no longer, you know where we're at in the story, right? Yep. This whole time, you know, 22 years from the dream through the pit to the Potiphar's house to the prison. Now he's been brought to the palace and he's leading Egypt. He is the son of the Pharaoh. He's the man. And his brothers come because they're starving. And this whole picture of them bowing down. So that's what we've been leading up to. And Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and the Pharaoh's household heard about it. Sorry, I'm going to just interject here. We come back from a conference where they worshiped, where we worshiped. And for me, what I realized is when God is with us, an honest people, we cannot keep silent. Amen? And so if you're feeling like, wow, what is this, like a pep talk going on here this morning? Everybody's shouting and, yes! Because what happens is we go down to the lowest common denominator if we're not careful. And pretty soon we're all just kind of bent over and just kind of, I don't know. We say no. I say no. We're going to make more noise. We're going to worship. We're going to believe God. We're going to pray for miracles. We're going to trust Him to heal the sick and save the lost. And is that okay? That's just for free. But Joseph, think about, this is 22 years. Like, I want to share stuff that became real to me in my life, but this isn't about me. But we got to get the story. He can't hold it anymore. When he sees what God has done, when he understands what the suffering and the years and the wondering and how come, God, how could it be? His brothers are there, and he cannot hold it any longer. And I'm telling you, Sunday by Sunday, that's how it's going to be around here. And it doesn't mean we've got to be real loud. But we do. Because when God is moving, when you see God heal, when you see God minister, when you see God restore, when he answers your prayer, Tanner, I'm going to be the loudest one cheering. Yeah. Trust me. Joseph couldn't handle it anymore. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and the Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Come on. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. So if we are really getting spiritual this morning, Joseph is this type, this Old Testament picture example of Jesus. And he says to his brothers, come close. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will not be a plowing or reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Hallelujah. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now that's a title right there. Now hurry back to your father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph said. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down here. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brothers, Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. Hey, imagine that conversation. Go to chapter 50. Put that screen back on there. Sorry, I know you were showing the... Okay, it's okay. Chapter 50. I think it's verse 1. I was going to use your... Yes. 50, verse 50. Where are we? Verse 15. Thank you. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if, okay, this is some time later, right? What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs he did? That's a real concern. Were they very nice? No. So they sent word to Joseph saying, now this gets a little... I love the Bible. It doesn't hide anything. Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. And when their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. This is Jesus kind of stuff. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Amen? That's Joseph's story in a nutshell. What you intended for evil, for harm, God intended for good. Amen? Lord, bless your word, your holy, infallible word this morning. I pray that you would speak to us, to one, my brother, my sister, all of us, and you would speak to our hearts concerning forgiveness, graciousness, kindness in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just read it quickly. I have it on the screen here. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. So he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. You could preach all of these. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Amen? Now that's forgiveness, and we'll talk about it. Amen. The heart of the gospel message is forgiveness and reconciliation. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How has God forgiven us? You can put up the next slide. Ta-da. There you go. Boy, that's small writing. Hope it's bigger up here. Unconditionally, unequivocally, as far as the east is from the west. That's what Psalms 103 says. So I'm just reading these lines. It's very easy for me to read a couple of these lines, but let the Holy Spirit sink them into our hearts this morning. Means that I should not hold people responsible for what they have done to me. I will hold nothing against them, and I will not tell other people, not even my closest friends, what they did to me. Paul did not just close his eyes to those who would continue to harm others. He was not afraid to deal with people and address issues in the church. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about this revenge, this keeping of a record, this wanting to get even, looking for justice where it can't be found. He says, forgive one another. So, next slide. I'm going to move quick. R.T. Kendall used to come to our church in Pretoria. He wrote the book, Total Forgiveness. I gave it to a couple of people who probably need that stuff. What I liked about what R.T. said, you know, he would come. He wrote that book years ago. He would come to our church year after year. He'd preach the same message. We could sit and read his book while he speaks about total forgiveness. I kind of like, yeah, but we heard this last year. And then when he was done, he would call, you need to be totally forgive people. You want to be free this morning. We'd all cry at the altar. Because it's an issue that is ongoing, that is the center of the gospel, and it's what sets us free, is to be able to forgive, to be able to understand what it means to have total forgiveness, to go from that place like Joseph, in case I never get back to it, to where your brother's intended harm, to where you see God work for good, not that this stuff was good, God worked for good, and he was able to set them free, and then to actually bless them. Like, that's when you know you're free. In case I never get to it, is when you can bless your enemies. You can set them free. And actually, what you're doing is setting yourself free, right? We all heard the sermons, drinking the poison, hoping they will die, but they don't die. You just sour. My other favorite example is, it's like when you don't forgive someone, you're chained to them. They don't know it, but you're just crippled. And so God wants us to be set free. So let's every one of these, You can get his book. Go online, get his book, read. We don't have time. But let me just list them. He says, total forgiveness is not approval of what they did. God never approves sin. Excusing what they did. Forgive them does not mean endorsement of evil deeds, okay? That's how Jesus forgives. Justifying what they did. No, make right or just. God will never call something evil right, and he does not require us to as well. It's not good. It's not right. Pardon what they did. Pardoning is a legal transaction that releases an offender from a consequence of their action. That is why we didn't ask guilty offender to be exempt from punishment. He needs to pay his debt to society, and society must be protected from him. So it's not pardoning, just this releasing. There's a penalty. There is a price. And I spoke on this some time ago, and that's why I'm repeating my sermons, because you're not listening anyhow. No, that's evil to speak like that. Forgive me. But different version. When I was the foreman of that court case, and I shared that, that's what I was trying to remember. I was the foreman of the jury over this court case of a stepfather abusing his two young daughters. And we had to sit there and listen to these girls and listen. And and then it come to the end where you have to give a punishment. You have to say guilty. And you have to stand up, each one of us, and face them, and starting with me, and say guilty. And it's okay, all right? It's not reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not always the same. The injured person can forgive without reconciliation. Reconciliation requires the participation of both sides, and sometimes you'll never, ever get it. It's not denying what they did. And I could preach this whole one, repression, just holding it in, just unconsciousness. That's what we do. Like, if you've ever sat with people who have been abused and hurt, like, the depth of it is, we can't even understand it. It needs the power of God. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit to actually set free. It's not denying. It's not blindness to what happened. We do not pretend nothing happened. That is damaging. Paul said to keep no records of wrong in 1 Corinthians, but he did not mean that you must be blind to those wrongs. 8, forgetting may not be realistic. It's usually impossible to forget stuff. It's actually a demonstration of greater love when we are fully aware of what occurred and we still choose to forgive. That's real forgiveness. And pretending we are not hurt. It's not that. And I think it's RT's, I've got it somewhere, but the example, you know, when they slapped Jesus' face, it hurt. And he said, why do you slap me unjustly? Why did you strike me? You can ask that question. It's not, it hurts. It's okay to acknowledge it. It's okay to say it hurts. So what is total forgiveness? I'm trying to go quick. Being aware of what someone has done and still forgiving them. Choosing to not keep a record of the wrong. It's a choice. It's not a feeling, especially at first. But it's rather an act of the will. Refusing to punish. Giving up the natural desire to see them get what's coming to them. That's the part we kind of love to cook. Just kind of imagining the punishment that they deserve, what they should have. It's not telling what they did. Thank God this is what Jesus did for us. I won't be punished for my sins, and nobody will know about my sins, for all the sins that are under the blood of Christ will not be exposed or held against me. Being merciful, leaving the punishment to God alone. 6, it's graciousness. It is shown by what you don't say, even if what you could say would be true, is what Jesus did with the woman caught in adultery. And if you want a beautiful, amazing story of Jesus with a woman, we talked about it the other day, caught, they drag her, like the evil of it, and he sits with her, and he says, where are those who condemned you? Neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin. That's it. That's how he dealt with it. That's how he deals with us today. And it's an inner condition. Total forgiveness must take place in the heart, or it is worthless. If we have not truly forgiven those who hurt us in our hearts, it will come out as sooner or later when we do it, when they have not asked for it and have not felt any guilt for it as they did with Jesus. Okay, I'm mixing up my English, but like Jesus, they weren't asking forgiveness. They weren't even knowing in fact, they don't care. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's the picture of total forgiveness, of releasing them. So, what happens when we don't forgive? This is getting a little closer to home now. We are not saved by works. Amen? We are told to work out our salvation, not work for it. So what does that mean? Well, forgiving someone is work. That's a work. That's a choice. That's something we do. That's something God-like. We're not God, but it's something that we can do that shows godliness, that shows gracefulness, graciousness, that shows kindness to people. Forgiving someone is work, but it's a good work. We are saved by grace, but there are good works for us to do. Forgiving those who have hurt us is one of them. I don't know if that helps you or not, but I hope it does. It's a good work. And I'll get to, it's good for them, but it's good for me. It's good for us. So number one, God's forgiveness is unconditional. Fellowship with the Father is conditional. These four, just let me speak quickly. When we put our trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross, we are credited by God with perfect righteousness. Amen? We're saved. Not based on merit. We do not work for it. We are justified before God. We are declared righteous, justified, just as though you didn't sin. That's a declaration of God over our lives. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are justified before God. We are declared righteous. We receive this salvation by grace through faith. But fellowship with the Father on the way to heaven is conditional. Unconfessed sin, including unforgiveness in our lives, can block our fellowship with the Father. That's the kicker. We are saved, but we are not in heaven yet. And unforgiveness and unconfessed sin and holding people accountable and holding people in unforgiveness robs us of fellowship with the Father. And we'll see how far we get in this, but like you know the prayer Jesus prayed, our Father who art in heaven, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There's many places, you know, if you cannot forgive, neither will your Father forgive. Do we need to go back to those verses again? Those are conditions of not salvation, but on our way to heaven, walking with Jesus and feeling a fellowship with the Father. And we're wondering why our prayers just go, hit, you know. Pete yells at us to praise the Lord this morning, and we're like, okay, 22 years in prison for you, till you can weep with your brothers and cry, hallelujah. Number two, justification before God is unconditional, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit is conditional. Amen? The anointing, the power of the Spirit in our lives may ebb and flow. The dove may come down and then flutter away for a while, but our standing before God because of the righteousness of Christ put to our credit is permanent. But like we read in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? What does he use as how we grieve the Holy Spirit? Unforgiveness, malice, anger, bitterness. And it's like, again, RT used to say, just hear the flutter of the wings of the dove. Leave. When you start gossiping, you start accusing, and you start, it's like, God, I want your presence. I want to be able to worship God. I want to know his presence as I make my way through this land on my way to heaven. Our status in the family of God is unconditional. Amen? Our intimacy with Christ is conditional. We are sons and daughters of the Most High once we have been adopted into His family. I love Ephesians 1:5. We are secure in the family of God as Jesus Himself is in the Trinity. He says we are in Christ, in the Father. We have this confidence. We're not shaky. We know we have confidence in God. We are His sons. And when sons, I have an adopted son. I love my adopted son. All my kids, when they mess up, have they ever messed up? Not, of course they have. It's only as your kids move away from home and you're sitting with young parents with little brats, as your kids are gone, you're like, my children never caused any trouble. It's like your mind, you forget stuff. But they're always my son. And they're always my daughter. That's confidence. That's security in God. We are secure in the family of Jesus, as Jesus Himself. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are saved, but our intimacy with Christ is conditional. You obey His word. You walk in His commandments. You forgive one another. You know, love the Father and your neighbor and yourself. Amen? Those are the conditions that we're walking in, that we have to forgive and love and do as Christ has done. Last one, our destiny, whether we go to heaven or hell, is fixed. Amen? Receiving an additional reward is conditional. Once we are saved, we are assured that we will go to heaven. Do you have assurance that you're going to heaven? Do you? Because that's the gift of God to us as believers. The Holy Spirit is the deposit, is that seal. I know that I know that I know. Not by because of my little pitiful faith trying to hang on to Jesus, but because He's hanging on to me. My faith in Him and my faith in His faith, in what He's done and who He is and the power of the cross. Yes, there's stuff I must do. There is a life that I live, but my confidence is in Christ. But receiving an inheritance, a further reward, you know, that Colossians 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ and wood, hay, and stubble, and silver and gold and precious, like that, our works, based on our motive and based on how we lived out our life, there's a reward, that an inheritance that is waiting for us. And I love my brother Brian, he's always on this subject, but it's like we don't sit in heaven and use little harps and we're going to rule and reign with Christ. But those who were faithful with little, it's not an equal playing ground. There's going to be reward. There's going to be those who rule and reign with Him. There will be those who are being ruled and reigned. There's those on the outer edges of darkness, and there are those who are invited close to that banquet. I want to be able to bring crowns and lay them at Jesus' feet. You know, if I told you how good I was, I'd lose all that reward, so I can't. But it's like, God, I want to be faithful. I want the Holy Spirit's anointing. Jesus lived with the ungrieved Holy Spirit. He set aside His glory. He let, you know, the whole theological picture of Jesus, God and man. Amen? He laid aside His glory. But He didn't think, you know, being equal with God was something to grasp. He's God. He laid it aside, and He lived out His life in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, as you and I can, if we would surrender to His Holy Spirit and surrender to Jesus and surrender these wicked hearts of ours. Just beat them down and say, today you're going to serve God. One thing I like about conference, sorry, going back to that, is there's, I don't know how many of us were there, leaders from all over Canada, a lot of young families, a lot of young kids, some of them grown up. I was very jealous because I love when my children are in meetings with me, because it was talking about generation to generation, your faithfulness, you know, the whole legacy thing. And I was grateful to have a son-in-law in the meeting with us. And Russell and Helen and Jeff, old guys like Jeff. There was some young guys there too. But just what I was going to say is just the reminder of the energy and the zeal and the excitement for God. And I have it, but it's like jumping a little. Hallelujah. Lord, you know my heart. But it's like, we're not going to go quiet. I'm sorry. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, what I love is some of you seniors, when the Holy Spirit comes on, you don't care. You are laying on the floor here the different times. You're weeping before, whatever. But we want the Holy Spirit. We want God in our lives and in our services. We know that our destiny is heaven, but God wants us to enjoy the trip a lot more. Right. And one thing Frank prayed over us, there was many prophetic words in different settings, but Frank came the last night. You remember Frank from camp, right? Wild man, I love him. It makes me feel like a tired old guy because he's just, whew, those Brazilians. We're just worshiping, and he came over and grabbed Lori and I, and he just started speaking. And I can tell you, God does half the things he's prophesying over this house. You get ready. But just one that, and it was on my heart, and it's what I wrestled with. Just so you know my heart. They were talking about generations, and they're speaking about different things in worship, and I don't know, the word, and all these areas. And the challenge is from generation to generation. And as an old, tired evangelist who's seen stuff in the world, my heart is that people in this country, young people, you, whoever you are, all of us together, would see the power of God to deliver, to heal, to save. If there's one thing that I can say I've seen in my life is stuff, miracles, healing, demonic saved, delivered. You want stories? We have stories. And I don't want to talk about stories over in Africa. I want to live them right here in our lives. And that's the inheritance, the legacy for our children and our children's children, that they would know God. And we cannot pass on what we don't have. We need his presence. We need his power in our lives. Sorry, this is for free, but when I was, this is what I wrestled with. I wrestle with it right now. I see my mother-in-law suffer. Jesus, heal that spine. My friend sitting in the aisle. Anyhow, what I didn't do it. But when they're talking about legacy for the young people, what I wanted to say is get everybody 20 and under up here. Let's pray for miracles. A generation that has not seen miracles. We've seen them. I can take you to the doctor's office. I can show you the letters. You used to line them up on the platform by dozens. All those who have been, whatever they call that, diagnosed with AIDS, get up here. The whole altars. And start praying. And the Holy Spirit fall and stuff going on. Like, I don't want to just talk about that. I want to live it. I want to be saying, God, heal. I want to see miracles. I want to see. That's what I'm praying for my grandchildren. That's what I'm praying for the next generation, that they would experience God. Once you've met God, and that, it's not only in all the signs and wonders, once you've met God, nobody can convince you something else. And if you haven't, I cannot convince you about the goodness of God. He has to show himself to you. You have to cry out to him. You have to open your heart and the blinders to fall off your eyes, whatever. And I pray that for anyone that's here this morning, and you're wondering what's going on, I pray God would just open your heart, open your life to him and to his Holy Spirit. There's a reward in heaven for those who serve God. There's a life in the Holy Spirit that he's inviting us to walk into. That's all I'm saying. So, let's end this. Forgiveness is a command. Forgiveness is for our benefit. Forgiveness is possible because of what Jesus did. Forgiveness is achieved when we can bless our enemies and pray for those who hurt us, that they would be blessed. It's so easy to read this. Ah, may the Lord bless you. You know some of my story. And it's not like it only happens long ago. It happens all the time. Lori has to forgive me every day. And don't laugh. It's the truth. Quit laughing. That's why I don't have her preach. You're still laughing. Jesus. You know, a couple examples, I used them before, but I'll just because it's easier to talk about out there somewhere. Friends of ours whose son-in-law waited until their daughter inherited a great inheritance and then divorced and took half. What kind of wickedness is that? How about another friend whose son-in-law had their daughter sign a second mortgage without her knowing it against their property, and then moving all the money to his mother's account and then divorcing? So she got left with half the debt, nothing. What is that? And you know, you say, well, you're supposed to forgive and pray for the blessing. Listen, it takes miracle power of God. But it starts with a decision to say, I'm not going to keep this. And I, you know, we've all heard Nelson Mandela's story, and you've probably read his book, The Long Walk to Freedom. We lived in South Africa for many, many years. We're citizens of South Africa now, have been for years. Some of you are South African here today, come from there. It's a miracle story. He's the Joseph. I think everybody who wants to be Prime Minister of Canada should go to jail for 47 years. How long was he in jail? How many? 27. Well, 40 would be better for some of our politicians, just to soften them a little bit. His whole point of his book was, as he's walking out of the prison, read his book. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what was that, but as he's walking out of prison, I was waiting for that. He had a choice to make. I forgive these guys, or I'm never free. That's it. And he made a choice, and the rest is history. And all he's remembered for, not for the bombs he blew up and blew legs off of friends of ours in our church in Pretoria, shrapnel in their legs. He's remembered for being a man who forgave and brought healing, unbelievable change. And whatever your politics, it doesn't matter. The power of forgiveness is real. And we need to set people free. And we need to be free. Close. Injustices will come. Amen? It's up to you what you do with them. How you deal with them will determine your future. And can you be offended? You will be. And you will be. Until you say, no. I'm done being offended. Help me, God. I want to walk free. I want to leave that prison. I want to be able to forgive. Amen. Band, come. And I want to ask you this morning, I'm going to invite Pete to close, but if you're wrestling, if there's somebody, if you met them right now, there would be, your face would blush. There would be even around this whole, then I'm asking you to say, God, help me this morning. Is that okay? Yeah. And it takes courage. It takes a decision. And I'm not asking you to do all the things that total forgiveness is not, but what total forgiveness is, to release them, to do what Jesus did. That's what I'm asking. And it's by his power and by his goodness that we're able to do it. Amen? Amen.